In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, the moral doctrine given us by St. Paul in today's epistle, and what it is he means by that justice, that holiness of truth, that of Christ, of the new man whom everyone must put on, this could be summed up in these words: be careful to keep unity. This is the principle he lays down for all, both beginners and the perfect, and those in between. It is the crown of the most sublime vocation in the order of grace, as well as the foundation and the reason for all God's commandments. So truly that indeed, if we be commanded to abstain from lying and to speak the truth to them that live with us, the motive for it all is because we are members one of another. Is it a given that this unity will always be easy to maintain? Not in the slightest. There is a holy anger, a holy anger, of which the psalmist speaks and which is the outcome on certain occasions of zeal for the divine law and charity. But the moment, the movement of irritation, excited in the soul, must even then be speedily calmed down, for to foster it would be giving place to the devil. It would be giving him an opportunity for weakening or even destroying within us, by bitterness and hatred, the structure of holy unity. It is by this means alone, says St. Basil, that the Church manifests to this earth of ours the many and great benefits bestowed on the world by the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Jesus has restored to our hands, which were once paralyzed for every supernatural work, the full freedom of their movements, so to speak. So let us raise them up spiritually in prayer, giving glory to God by our homage, which he graciously accepts as a fragrant sacrifice. And the gospel given to us in this Sunday, relates to us those invited to the marriage. There was a certain man who made a great supper and who invited many. Man who has become king, who makes a marriage for his son. And this marriage gives us an image of the kingdom of heaven. Those who are first invited and who contented themselves with declining the kindness of the master of the house, of the king, they have grown in their impious ingratitude, laying hands on the messengers sent to them by the loving kindness of the king. They treat them with hatred, and they put them to death. We have seen the merited punishment inflicted on those who put Christ to death. By this man, who is God himself, the Father of Israel, now the King of the entire universe, we have seen how he sent his armies to destroy them and to burn their city. And now, at last, in spite of the refusal of those invited, the Jews, in spite of the treacherous opposition put by them against the celebration of the nuptials, of the wedding feast of the Son of God, all things are ready for the marriage. The banquet hall is filled with guests. Our heavenly King has confided to the ministers of his love the work of calling from every people the new guests. But now that his ambassadors, according to his command, have gone over the whole earth, bringing together all nations for this day of the joy of his heart, he himself is coming in person to see that nothing is wanting for the due preparation of the feast and to give the signal for the eternal banquet of the divine nuptials in heaven. And for such a feast and in such a place, if there be any deficiency, anything lacking, it can only be on the part of the guests, each and every one of us. So let us be careful not to draw down upon themselves in this general and last examination on the last day the displeasure of the great king who has called them to an alliance with himself. Though he has condescended to call them, even in their extreme poverty and their lack of virtue, from the public streets and highways, he has given them abundant time to lay aside their tatters, their rags, their sins, And knowing that they could not get ready up by themselves, he has placed at their disposal for the marriage feast the richest garments of his grace and virtues. So woe to him who on the last day shall not be found having the wedding garment of charity, that is, sanctifying grace in one's soul. Such a lack would be inexcusable, and the king would justly punish it by excluding the guilty man from the feast as one who had insulted his son. May we ever be found, therefore, with this garment, the garment of God's sanctifying grace, given to us again and again in the sacraments of Holy Mother Church, when received with the proper dispositions. This is found in the souls of those who accept the wedding invitation, in the unity of Christ's church. Notwithstanding her dignity of beloved bride of the Son of God, the church is nonetheless subject to tribulations here below. The enemies of the spouse, having no longer any direct power to injure our Lord, they all turn their rage against her. In these trials, endured as they are by the church with love, our Jesus sees a fresh trait of that resemblance which he wishes her to have to himself. He, therefore, leaves her to suffer in this world, contenting himself with ever upholding and saving her. In the midst of the evils which go on thickening around her, but which will never prevail against her. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.